ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 9 चैप्टर 10 द पास्ट टाइम्स ऑफ लॉर्ड रामचंद्र टेक्स्ट 51 एंड 52 कनेक्टेड जस्ट रिसाइट 51 गो टू 52 सॉरी 52 एंड 53 That's 53, yeah. Text 52. Vanani Natya Girayo Varsanu Deepa Sandiva Sarve Kama Dukta Asan Prajanam Bharatarshava. Translation by His Divine Grace S. Bhaktivan Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Maharaj Parikshit, West of Bharat Dynasty, during the reign of Lord Ramachandra, the forests, the rivers, the hills and the mountains, the states, the seven islands and the seven seas were all favorable in supplying the necessities of life for all living beings. Text 53.
Nadhi Vyadhi Jaraglani दुःखशोक भयक्लमः मृत्युश्चानि चानिच्छतां नासीद् रामे राजने अदक्षजे।
ट्रांसलेशन व्हेन लॉर्ड रामचंद्र द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड वॉज द किंग ऑफ दिस वर्ल्ड All bodily and mental suffering, disease, old age, bereavement, lamentation, distress, fear and fatigue were completely absent. There was even no death for those who did not want it. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. All these facilities existed because of Lord Ramachandra's presence as the king of the entire world. A similar situation could be introduced immediately, even in this age of Kali, the worst of all ages. It is said, Kali Kale Namarupe Krishna Avatar. Krishna descends in this Kali Yuga in the form of his holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. If we chant offenselessly, Ram and Krishna are still present in this age. The kingdom of Ram was immensely popular and beneficial. And the spreading of this Hare Krishna movement can immediately introduce a similar situation, even in this Kali Yuga. Hare Krishna. So today is a very auspicious day. So by seeking all the devotees' blessings, especially Govind Prabhu, I would like to speak something on Srimad Bhagavatam purport special Prabhupada. So there are two verses that speaks about the experience that people go through while living in the Ram Rajya or Lord Ram's world, his kingdom. And in these two verses we see that the nature of spiritual world or the nature of living entities who live along with the Lord in the spiritual world. So the Lord descends into this world to attract the conditioned living entities who are suffering because of various material problems. And he demonstrates along with his devotees, along with his unalloyed devotees, he demonstrates that how living with him is so wonderful. So I'll just read the translation of these two verses, then we'll just speak a little bit. Then the first, the 52nd verse, he says, O Maharaj Parikshit, the best of Bharat dynasty, During the reign of Lord Ramachandra, the forests, the rivers, the hills and mountains, the states, the seven islands and the seven seas were all favorable in supplying the necessities of life of all living beings. So there is no scarcity of any funds or opulences or wealth. When the devotees offer everything in service of the Lord, then there is no scarcity, basically. And recently we were in South India, the famous Srirangam temple, Ranganath temple. We are taking a tour in that courtyard and we saw this massive temple. Samanand Prabhu was telling us this is the largest functioning temple in the world right now. The largest temple is in Cambodia. What is that place? Angkor Wat. Vedic temple, but not functioning. But this is a massive temple. There is a hall that has 1,000 pillars, and each pillar is like almost as high as this ceiling, this temple or ceiling. Single stone pillars, and they are carved. Then there was another devotee, he is ISKCON Brahmachari there. He was telling us there was so much wealth in this temple. He was saying even the pillars, there are some carvings, and those carvings there used to be jewels. So because the Lord is sitting in that Garbhagriha and the Brahman effulgence would come out, so the effulgence was reflected through these gems and jewels. So much gold, still gold is there, we can see still today. And the people outside India, they used to say India is Sone ki chudiya, or it is like a golden bird. It has all gold and all wealth here. Why? Because of the Vedic culture. Because of the people who served Lord without any ulterior motives. And the Lord and Mother Earth, they provided sufficient grains and jewels and gold, everything. I'll just give one example which I heard there. There was a king who wanted to offer some gift to Ranganath. And he decided to bring a lot of jewels and gold for Ranganath. So what he did, he put a boat in a river. And in that boat he put all his weapons, like iron weapons or steel weapons. And then he put another elephant on the top of that elephant, out of that boat. And on that elephant he sat. Then he took another boat of similar size and filled it with gold and all those things, jewels, to match that weight and everything. Then he brought it to Srirangam. But then as he explained, Ranganath rejected his offer. He said, he's full of pride. What does he think? He can give me so much. Whatever he has is given by me to him. But he's coming back with pride. I don't want it. So we've seen throughout India so many deities are there and so many pastimes which are so true. So the Pujari said, the Ranganath doesn't want your offerings. In fact, Ranganath told the Pujari that you just go take this, all these jewels and everything and throw in the courtyard. So the place where we used to take curd rice, lemon rice, and the prasadam area, they threw all the jewels scattered all around. And most surprising thing is, nobody took a single piece of jewel from that place. Because Ranganath rejected, everybody did not like this way, this well. Because he rejected, so everybody else rejected. Sometimes it happens that when somebody you like, if he just gives it up, doesn't like it, some gift you give, if somebody, suppose you make a preparation, say sabji or sweet for devotees, somehow it may be a good item, but if they reject it, then you don't have any attraction for that item, isn't it? It happens like that. So the devotee, the love Ranganath so much, because he rejected, nobody took single interest. Those jewels are like pebbles for them. They didn't took anything of that. They rejected. Then the king was like quite humbled. He was feeling very sad, very remorse. And he was standing in front of Ranganath. And the pujaris were arranging for Abhishek of Ranganath. Like we do Abhishek, Radha Gopijan Ballav or Gopinath. Then there is this Arghya, this water. These all Ganges and Saraswati we invite to the latter and offer to the Lord. Similarly, they get water from Kaveri in golden pots. So the pujari was about to offer the Abhishek, but some other he forgot to bring the Visarjane Patra. Visarjane Patra means where this bathing water is collected. So he was about to put the water, but then he remembered about Visarjane. Where is the Visarjane Patra? You know, the pujari asks. So we have also pujaris under Dasanudas. We keep on asking them. Like a surgeon, he performs, you know, surgery. He asks, where is the scissor? Similarly, the pujaris, they ask devotees, where is this? So he says, where is the Visarjane Patra? Then everyone understood it was not there. Then suddenly what the king did, he took out his crown and gave it upside down so that the, you know, bathing water can be collected. So when he did that, then the Ranganath became very happy. He said, okay, you bring back all the jewels. And it was used in his service. And it is said, you may be thinking these are all stories. You know, some of you may be still thinking like that, stories. But in the history it is explained, when the Mughals attacked this place, that is the problem with these people. Instead of utilizing that facility in service of Lord, they destroy. This mode of ignorance. So they took away all the jewels. And it is said that for 8 miles long, the bullock carts were filled with jewels and golds. 8 miles long, a caravan of bullock carts. That was the wealth they took away. But again, it will be refilled by, you know, devotees would offer to the Lord. Of course, it is now much lesser than what we used to see, because there are no devotees. Very less number is decreasing. So in this way, you see that when the Lord lives with his devotees, there is no scarcity of any opulence or fund. Srila Prabhupada, when he was started this movement, it is said he was just carrying 40 rupees, which he couldn't exchange for a dollar in America. And when he returned, because of his devotional service, because so many devotees took interest with him, this movement expanded, so much money came. And it was in Calcutta, some Marwadi businessman approached Srila Prabhupada. Gaurang was telling us this, that how Prabhupada, he was asking Prabhupada, ki how could you make all this money? Some crores of rupees in those 1960s, 70s, 1 crore is like too much money. So Prabhupada said, no, I just went to New York, I chanted Hare Krishna, and all the money came. He said, that's all right, but how it came? He was not able to accept or believe it. With just by chanting Hare Krishna, one can get money. But Prabhupada was saying, yeah, just doing bhakti and Krishna supplied everything. And that is quite true. After practicing, we can see these things. So during Lord Ramachandra's reign, the forest, the rivers, the hills, the mountains, the states, even the islands and the seven seas were all favorable in supplying the necessities of life for all living beings. Especially His Holiness Dasamurth Maharaj was here and he was speaking about eco-friendly, how to nurture the ecology, how to maintain the eco-balance and all these things. He was speaking in a nice seminar where he actually explained that Bhumi is like Mother Earth, we say, Bhudevi, who is actually a consort of Lord Vishnu. That verse you are saying, Samudra Vasane Devi, Parvatastana Mandide, Vishnu Patni Namastubhyam, Pravate, Samak Shamak, Padasparsa Kshamasame. Yeah. that before we touch, after getting up, before we touch the soil or the floor with our feet, we offer our obeisances to Mother, because we cannot kick Mother, you know. He was saying, just like Mother gives everything to the child, she has all the necessities that is required for the child, she supplies. Even if they, sometimes the children are not so obedient and very, very, you know, against, still the mother supplies everything. Some or other, even if she's a poor lady, you will see, some other she will manage something, you know, she will keep somewhere hidden and bring it out to the children. Similarly, in this age of Kali, although there is so much of violence against the earth, against the nature, for self enjoyment, temporary enjoyment, still she gives, being a mother. But actually, we have exploited so much, there is nothing much to give. So, the Vedic literature is actually given by the Lord Himself. And it is meant for very advanced people who can actually understand and appreciate and live according to its injunctions. So that finally everybody is benefited. The current generation and as well as the future generations. He was saying so many things. We'll get diverted. But basically the earth, it supplies everything when one lives in obedience to the Lord, following His injunctions, and all the wealth is there. Not only the wealth that is required for our external requirements, like food we need to eat, or shelter like houses, but there are internal problems also. Nadi vyadi jara glani. Na adhi. Adhi means, is referring to the threefold miseries. Adi devika, adi bhotika, and adhyatmika. Natural disturbances like flood or famine, and adi bhotika, miseries due to other living entities. In Kali Yuga, it is everywhere. Even if it is a very clean house, still people living in it fight each other like that, you know. So these are the situation. Problems, miseries created by other living entities, and adhyatmika, problem created by one's mind and heart. So, it is absent. Nadhi. None of these three miseries were there. Just imagine how beautiful the place must be. Na vyadhi, there is no diseases, no gross diseases also. There is mental peace as well as healthy bodies. Na jara, no old age. Na glani, no moroseness. So this something is like a dream in Kali Yuga, isn't it? It's like a dream in Kali Yuga. But when Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was king of this world, all bodily and mental suffering, disease, old age, bereavement, lamentation, distress, fear, fatigue were completely absent. So we see, in the Krishna book also, Srila Prabhupada explains, when Lord Krishna was about to appear, the whole situation in Vrindavan Dham completely changed. The climates were very nice, the river were very clean, beautiful. Everybody, all the fatigue in the devotee's body went away. Senses were powerful and jubilant, vibrant. Mind was peaceful and happy, satisfied. So this is the situation. Wherever the Lord is there, the devotees, along with Lord, experience this life. So therefore, so this material world has two major problems. One is that the miseries of adhidevika, adhivotika, adhyatmika, and janma murti jarabhyadhi. And second, there is scarcity of fund, for which people have to work hard day and night to collect money. In this way, fighting these miseries and struggling to exist takes away all of our energy. And how can there be happiness? So, Prabhupada explains elsewhere in the purport, he says, All that was Treta Yuga, the Turk means third Yuga. Satya Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, Treta Yuga. Still, because of Lord Ramachandra's presence, people are experiencing Satya Yuga, or as if living in kingdom of God. They were living in kingdom of God actually. And now it is Kali Yuga, and if one follows the principles, same principles, and if one brings the Lord by chanting Hare Krishna, then the same thing can be experienced even today. Prabhupada explains like that. So in the Bhagavad Gita, there is further contrast between the material and spiritual world. I'll just speak a little bit on that. In this chapter 8, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Mamupitya punarjanma dukhalaya masasvatam naplavanti mahatmana samsidim paramam gati. That one who attends me, and Krishna explains previously that by unalloyed devotion, by thinking constantly of Krishna, if one leaves body, then he attends to Krishna, spiritual world. Then he says, once who attends me, what happens? Mamupitya punarjanma dukhalaya masasvatam. This is dukhalaya masasvatam. This place is full of miseries and temporary. Dukhalaya masasvatam. We always speak about this. But one who attends me, then he attends the supreme destination, paramam gatim, and they don't return to this world. Naplavanti mahatmana. Such great souls do not return to this world. Then these two words, dukhalaya masasvatam, Krishna explains in next few verses. He says, not only is this a place of miseries, but it's also a temporary place. Normally we don't take it for, we don't understand this temporary term so, or we think that life is quite long and we can enjoy what is there, what is mistaken there. But this temporary term Krishna explains very vividly in next few verses. Some people may be thinking, okay, if not in this life, next life I will enjoy. And they plan for that also. Those who believe in next birth. But Krishna says, even that will also go in vain. He says, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Punarabhartino Arjuna. That from highest planet of Lord Brahma down to the lowest, wherever we may go, we have to return. That means there is a next birth. And wherever, whatever our conditions of thinking, in that way we will get another birth. So therefore he says, Abrahma Bhumana Loka Punararvartina Arjuna. Then again he says, Mamupitya tu konte punarjanma na vidyate. But if you attend to me, there is no rebirth. Punarjanma na vidyate. No more it is there. Then he says, by human calculations, 1,000 ages taken from duration of Brahma's form, the duration of Brahma's one day. 1,000 ages, like Kali Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, Treta Yuga, Satya Yuga. So Satya Yuga should come first. All this combined is one Yuga cycle, and 1,000 such cycles is the duration of Brahma's just one day. And similarly one night. Then he says, in the beginning of Brahma's days, all living entities become manifest. Like we all manifest. That means now the day of Brahma is going on. It is progressing. But even within one day, there are so many times we take birth and die, take birth and die. It just goes and goes and goes and cycle after cycle after cycle. But when a night comes, everything stops. Just like when we go to sleep, all activity stops, isn't it? Even during daytime, if you sleep, also activity stops. So similarly, in the night time, when the Brahma goes to sleep, all the activity, what are his activities? His activities is creation. Then there are so many departments, water, fire, air, ether. All the departments practically stops. So all the living entities go into a state of rest. And there is no activities. So Brahma says, not only this happens once, he says, again and again with Brahma's day arrives, when Brahma's day arrives, all living entities come into being. And with the arrival of Brahma's night, they are helplessly annihilated. So we may be trying to enjoy, but every time the death comes, the enjoyment stops. Not only that, every time Brahma sleeps, that also again stops. So in this way, for so much, even if even if we think a Brahma's day we want to enjoy, still there is end. And because there is end, then what is the use? Because enjoyment means it should not cease. If it ceases, then that is limitation. So in this, Krishna is giving a contrast between his world and this world. This world, whatever we may be doing, to whatever extent one may go, to whatever extremes one may go, still it has to cease, it has to stop. But whereas Krishna's, in the Krishna's world, there is no such thing. Then he explains about his world or spiritual world. This is parastasmastu bhavanya vyakta vyakta sanatana. Parastasmastu bhavanya. But beyond this world, there is another world, para, beyond, which has a different nature. Bhava anya. Anya means not this nature. Bhava means nature. Anya means different. Not of this type. It's a different type of nature. What is the nature of this world? Vyakta vyakta. It manifests and again unmanifest. Manifest, again unmanifest. Like that it happens. But that is permanent, sanatana. And when this world is destroyed, that world remains as it is. It never changes. It is eternal, permanent. So in this way, Krishna says, Abhyaktakshara iti yuktas tam aho paramam gatim yam prapya na nivartate tad dhama paramam mama. There is one who attains to that kingdom, that place, one does not have to return to this world. And that place is my own abode. Of course, sometimes my devotee is explaining, everything is Krishna's abode. Everything is Krishna's abode. The material world is also Krishna's abode. Krishna created it. It is his abode. But just like in a house, we have different rooms. And we say, this is my room, which is very special. You may be living in other apartments, all other rooms. But when it comes to your own room, you take special care. What color of paint and, you know, what color of marble, type of marble, the chairs, the tables, everything we choose, special. Similarly, Krishna, this is my abode. That means he is referring to that, this spiritual world, Krishna Loka, Golok Vrindavan, is my abode. And that is very special. And this speciality is what? It doesn't get destroyed. So, when Lord comes here, he brings that abode here, like Lord Ramchandra is, it's explained here in Srimad Bhagavatam. And he said, there was even no death. What to speak of Adi Vyadhi? Okay, Vyadhi and all miseries, okay. But even there is no death, if one doesn't want it. So similarly, spiritual world, same thing. No death. No rebirth. That means no rebirth, basically. So, Lord Krishna is explaining very clearly in this Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, all these pages, it is clearly describes that how living entity is entrapped in this world and we are not able to come out of it. And we can understand, being spirit soul, we can understand we eternal, we want eternal happiness, we want eternal existence, eternal enjoyment, but somehow we are not allowed. So that is possible only when we give up this place and surrender to Krishna, and then we can actually have access. So, especially at time of death, one has to remember Krishna. Antakala cha mamema smaran muktva kalevaram yaprayati samad bhavam yatinati astra samsaya. So Krishna is saying that one has to remember me at the time of death. But Arjuna is asking, how is it possible? This question is very important because one may be thinking it is easy. But then Prabhupada, when Arjuna is asking how to remember you at the time of death, then Srila Prabhupada explains from Mukunda Mala Srota one beautiful verse. He says, what is that verse? Krishna Todiya Padapankas Panjarantra Advaiva Visatimu Manas Rajahamsa Prana Prayane Kale Kafabhatta Pitto Kanthavarodha Kuthastas Marami. Now, how can I remember you when the throat is choked with Kafabhatta Pitta? Actually, we think remember means with mind, but actually here remembering is related to uttering the word. Kanthavarodha. He says, now I am young, now let my mind be completely absorbed in your lotus feet. And let me leave the body now. So he is saying, because it's a practical problem, at time of death to think of Krishna. And Lord Krishna is answering in so many different nice verses. But then he says, Yamam vyapi smaran bhavam tajyate antakalavaram tam tam evaiti kunte sadatad bhava bhavita. So Prabhupada takes this word sadatad bhava bhavita, means he says, you always think of me, and throughout the lifetime, sadatad bhava bhavita, as we think of Krishna throughout the life, that will help us to think of Krishna at the time of death. So in this way, the devotees, they practice Krishna consciousness, and Prabhupada is explaining again and to chant Hare Krishna, so that at time of death we can think of Krishna. So there are two things. One is to practice, think of Krishna and go back to Godhead. That is individual. But then Srila Prabhupada, in this purport of Srimad Bhagavatam, he says, we should spread this glories of chanting Hare Krishna so that everybody is benefited. He's saying, just like Lord Ramchandra was here along with his devotees, they're all benefited. Similarly, by chanting Krishna's name, we can have Krishna with us. And he says, Kali Kale Namarupe Krishna Avatar. So Krishna descends in his holy name in this age of Kali. So this is very, you know, it seems a little unusual. How can Krishna's name be Krishna? The same problem was there when Krishna was here in Dwapara Yuga. When people saw Krishna's form, they would not accept it as God. So Krishna's form, name are not, they're all Krishna basically. When Krishna's form was here, people like Duryodhana, they would watch him, but would not accept him as God. Similarly, we are hearing Krishna's name and we are not also accepting, not we, I, or this is the concept, that perception we have stops us. Our conditioned perceptions stops us from accepting Krishna's name as Krishna. So, avajanandi mammudha manasintanu masrita. People in that time, Dwapara Yuga, they are thinking Krishna is simply a human being. Just like we think Krishna's name is a material name. Similarly, they think Krishna's form is a material form. Manasintanu masrita. Avajananti mammudha. Those are fools and rascals, Prabhupada says. They do not appreciate Krishna in his original form. They think that form is also like human being. So if we understand these things and just we have to accept on the basis of faith of authorities. Just like Prabhupada is giving a very simple example. He is saying one may watch the sun, it will appear very small. But is it small? How do you know it is not small? Because some authorities say. Now they may say that we have did some trigonometry and this and that. We have understood the distance and the size of sun. But has anybody ever gone to sun to measure the distance? Will ever one be able to do it? No. They have done something, they have explained it, and they have the faith that it is like that. And we have the faith that what they say is true. That's how it is. Similarly, by watching Krishna, whether it's form, whether it's name, holy name, a conditioned soul like, you know, in this world will not be able to understand. But when we hear authorities from Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, spiritual master, then we can actually able to see what it is. And that will help us to go near Krishna. So, Prabhupada says, just by offensively chanting Hare Krishna, we can bring Krishna into this world. And when Krishna is with us, then there is no problems. So there are two things. One is that we have to bring Krishna, so that people can experience spiritual world here. Then, Krishna also explains the time of death. When you think of him, we can go back to that original Krishna's abode. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually demonstrated this practically chanting of Hare Krishna. And by following his instructions, we can also experience it. Hari Bol. Thank you, Hare Krishna. Are there any questions? Any comments? Yes, ma'am. Why should you recite after somebody? Well, this is Vedas called Shruti. Shruti means one recites, the other recited back. Follow. By reciting back and forth, we are able to remember it. So that is the Vedic process. We are just simply following that. One person recites, the other recites back and forth. When it goes on again and again and again, we are able to remember the entire Vedas. Those were happening in different ages. Nowadays we need books and blackboards or whiteboards. But that was the process. Shrutis. Okay. Hare Krishna.